and less of me. You know, I see my faults and my failures. I know my mistakes, and the devil, if I ever start to forget one, he'll remind me. He's very good at that. But you know what? We want more of him this morning. I believe he'll give us exactly what our attitude will give him. If we'll come with him with the right approach this morning, I believe God will meet every need. You believe that this morning? Amen. I'd like the musicians be seated if you'd like to. If I can give this to you in the same way he gave it to me, I hope you rejoice as much as I did. I tell you what, I'm sure Brother Tony, if he was in the room, I think he'd step in the back. That's the hardest part about a minister is because the Lord gives you this wonderful feast and you want to be able to point this up where you can see the same thing we're looking at. And sometimes we just wish we had a different words to say. Does that make sense to you? It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to be a Christian. I've got the scriptures for my wife. I asked you to pull it up in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 17. And I want to speak to you on a thought the Lord gave me. Positioning the call. That's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 17. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they believed not the love of the truth. I'm sorry, let me read that again. And with all deceitfulness of unrighteousness in them that perished, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chose you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ gives himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Comfort your hearts, establish you in every good word and work. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. I thank you so much for this opportunity, Lord, to be here this morning. Help me, Lord, to get myself out of the way, Lord. Lord, that you can, Lord, speak to your people this morning, Lord, and help them remind that they operate the gift, God. Lord, help them, Lord Jesus. We all stand in our post of duty this morning. Come and visit us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. A love for the truth. It's not that they didn't reject the truth. It says that they actually rejected the love of the truth. Is that right? And I've noticed a lot of yawns this morning, and that devil will fight you this morning with sleepiness. How many knows that's right? But I'm telling you what, if everybody will focus on the message this morning, you'll find out you ain't tired no more. So who wants to agree with me this morning? I'm going to put that thing under my foot this morning. I've seen it during the worship service. I've seen every bit of that. Push that stuff to the side. Okay. Amen. I know what it's like to be tired. They worked me over 70 hours this week. In my physical body, I'm tired. But in my heart, I'm ready to serve the Lord. Amen. So bring it on. Let's have church. Amen. A love for the truth brings reverence to the truth. Is that right? Whenever you reverence the love, like a love from a wife to her husband, when a wife truly loves her husband, she'll reverence her husband. And she'll bring respect to her husband. And God's the same way. In the beginning it says, in St. John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so, for us to reverence God is to reverence His Word. Is that right? Right. And because there is no love or no respect as the headship for the truth, God will actually send strong delusion that people will believe a lie. I remember the first time I read this, I actually heard Brother Branham. I was laying on the couch one time. We lived in Poto. And I was laying there and I was just listening, and I heard Brother Branham say that God sends strong delusion to people who don't believe a lie. I was like, oh my goodness, is that God would do that, and I had to stop, push pause on the tape, and I had to find my Bible, flip it open. I was like, God will send strong delusion to people. God will cause people to believe a lie. Is this right? Flip up the Bible, and guess what? The Word of God says God will actually send strong delusion that people will believe a lie because they won't receive the love of the truth.
Right.
My goodness. That means that people are thinking they're doing right when they're doing wrong because they would not receive the love of the truth. I want to receive the love of the truth this morning.
Right.
The reason God will not give eternal life to these people that won't receive the love of the truth is because otherwise they'd be a people with eternal life that don't reverence God. Think of it when God would put the cherubim at the east side of the Garden of Eden after they were put out of the Garden of Eden. Why would God do that? With a carnal thinking, we'd say, surely God would want to bring them back to the Garden of Eden and they could tell God, I'm sorry, and He'd make everything okay, and they'd go right back in fellowship. But they couldn't do that because that barrier had been broke whenever they fell in the garden. Is that correct? And God actually put a cherubim on the east side of the Garden of Eden with a flaming sword turning which way to keep them from coming back. Why? Because God was not going to allow us to come to an eternal life and be a sinner and have a sinner's nature and have a rebellious nature against God. Thank God for that. Because you know what? I want eternal life. I thank God for it. I want to go fellowship. Thank God for it. But I want to go the right way. I don't want to try to come a different way. God has got a provided way that we can come to Him. Amen. In the Garden of Eden, the cherubim was there and he was at the east side of the garden flaming the sword. And if you don't mind, can you pull up verse 12 again, please? And you can just hold it up there. They received not the love of the truth and had pleasure in unrighteousness. Unrighteousness is not willing to repent or confess your faults. Is that right? So it's a people that not only can they do the things that's wrong, but they have pleasure while they do them.
That's right.
And I'm here to tell you, when you stay in the presence of God, the Almighty, and you try to live that kind of life, you won't be able to do it.
Right.
There's something on the inside of you. You'll be so grieved on the inside. You'll say, God, forgive me. Not because you're trying to serve God on the outside. It's an inward work where God will deal with your heart. And He'll get your heart right. And then when you make a mistake, you'll feel like you're going to do the lowest thing on earth until you make it right. You say, God, forgive me. That's the life of a believer. Amen? A love for the truth, or even a love for headship, causes you to want to be like that headship. You've got a father in the house, a husband in the house. You'll want to be like that father, or you'll want to be like that husband if it's in the right manner. If that man puts it in a sad state, even in the bad ways, you got a bad headship in the home, that boy, you look at a man that'll abuse his wife, abuse his children, abuse people with his words, watch their children, they'll raise up and do the exact same thing. They'll disrespect the teachers, they'll disrespect everybody. Why? Because they're respecting their headship. But you know what? What us with the Holy Spirit, and we have the Word of God, it brings a reverence. We say, God, I want to be like You. God, I want to reverence this Word. And to truly be thankful for the grace is when you can clearly see that you're without hope. And you really see that, you know what, I really messed up. And we're born in this world, we're shaped in iniquity, and our very nature is contrary to God. And while we were sinners, He came and died for us. There was a woman that was caught in the very act of adultery. And everybody's seen it. And they seen her in the very act of adultery, and all of her accusers were right there with her and brought her right before Jesus. And in her, she says, I am fit to be stoned. In me, I heard she did, I think she did. They seen it. They seen her make the mistake. And they drug her right in front of Jesus and said, she was caught in the very act of adultery. What do you say we do about it? Jesus simply looked down at the sand and He said, let he without sin cast that first stone. That woman truly knew grace. Because it wasn't a thank you so, I hurt you so. It was, that woman was caught. She did it. I did it. And right there where she could have been stoned, He says, I forgive you. Where are your accusers? I don't see any. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more.
I'm telling you what, that woman would walk away with a peacefulness and a joyfulness of knowing she's been forgiven.
Right.
You know why I think so many people aren't so happy anymore? Because they don't think they're forgiven. They've forgotten. Right. They're so bound, you forget, I'm forgiven. Yeah. That's the greatest thing about being a Christian. I'm forgiven, amen. God forgave me.
Go ahead and go to verse 13. God chose you from the beginning to salvation. Amen? But how do we come to salvation? And what is the door to salvation? Sanctification through the Spirit of truth. So many people try to come so many different ways to salvation. So many people, so you know what? I've got it because I have, some people say, I shouted. I know at that point, I got it. Some people say, I pray to the point I actually spake in tongues. I got it. Some people say, I actually went to Brother Brenham's meetings. He laid hands on me and prayed for me. I was healed. I got it. People say, I am best friends of this great known evangelist. If I didn't have it, he wouldn't be my best friend. He's my hunting buddy. I've got it. Everyone's got their tie post, different tie post of saying, I've got it. Amen. Before God can ever really deal with us, is God had to sanctify us. And He had to give us a spirit that will agree with His Word. And God gave us a tutor of the Holy Spirit that will begin to work with us. And I'm going to go through this whole step. You say, Brother Daniel, I'm way past that. Well, you just hold on for someone that ain't. And maybe you might find out, wait, maybe I might have missed a step. Amen?
Right.
I found that in myself before where I would hear something. I've already heard all this. There's no need for me to listen. I'm telling you, if you pay attention to it, I believe you'll get blessed. The tutor of the Holy Spirit will begin to work with you on an individual level. When you receive the Lord, you say, God, I want you in my life. I want you in my heart. I want to receive you. God will send a tutor to you that will work on your level. So that means if you are on third grade math, He's not going to come at you with seventh grade math and try to say, why aren't you doing seventh grade math? God will get on your level. God will work with you on your level, but He will not let you stay there. And so, you know, a lot of times people will bring a judgment when they look at someone else because they see the faults and failures in their life of what they're doing, but God may not even be dealing with that part right now. That's why we should be so careful when we judge somebody. Because you don't know where that person's at with their walk with the Lord. But God will send that tutor, and that tutor will begin to deal with your heart. Because remember, no man can come unto the Father unless come to me unless the Father draw. The Father will be the one that draws you to the Lord. And He will cause you to come unto the Lord. No man can even come. Think about that. No man can come unless the Father draw. The Lord's got to be the one that does the pulling. The Lord's got to be the one doing the work. Otherwise, it'd be like preaching to this chair right now and telling them, you got to come. I can speak to it. But there's got to be something on the inside of you that responds to that word. And if there's not that, friends, then we're wasting our time. When Jesus was talking to that woman at the well, He was talking to her spirit and her mind. You know, where's your husband? But what was He really talking to? He wasn't just talking to her mind. He was talking to something deep inside her. It was a seed. There was something on the inside of her that's what spoke to her. Said, this man is the Messiah. Not this. We've got to get past this intellectual thinking. It's got to come to a faith in our hearts. God, help me give it to the way that we show it to me. Well, we ain't serving God by intellectual thinking, but it's by faith.
Right.
Faith in our heart.
Right.
Because this right here, you can't do it. You'll live a defeated life serving the Lord with your mind. And what do you mean by serving the Lord by your mind? I mean by believing with my mind I'm a Christian. Because if I can talk you into being a Christian, I can talk you out of it.
Right.
If I can talk you into thinking you're pregnant, I can talk you out of it. But guess what? When it's done, it's done.
Amen.
Once that really, really happens on the inside, all of a sudden you start seeing them changes. And I can tell you all, people can say all they want. There ain't no baby in there. Whatever. Look at the belly. Something proves different.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
I'm trying not to go to the left or the right. I'm trying to stay with what the Lord gave me here. First, he gives the Spirit that will agree with the Word. And day by day, week by week, one sermon at a time, one scripture at a time, our love for the truth makes us want to be more like Him. A chicken, it's limited on how high he can fly. How many knows that?
Right.
We used to have chickens at the house when I was growing up, and I wish I could do that with the kids because I thought it was a good experience. We had these chickens in the house. We were pretty poor, so we depended on them very heavily. But sometimes, if you didn't have eggs, you didn't eat.
Right.
We ate beans and fried taters, and sometimes we ate fried taters and beans. Just to try to change it up a little bit. But we'd have these chickens out inside the house. And these chickens, we had a wire coop that was, I mean, it was probably maybe that high. Wasn't very tall at all. And them poor little chickens, you could see them stand back, and he would, he'd run and hit it. And he'd hit that cage, and he couldn't get any higher. But you'd see him every once in a while, they would get just enough height where he'd go, he'd run and jump, he'd hit that cage, and he'd keep flapping, and he'd tumble right over that thing. And he'd be out, and guess what would happen? Then the coyotes would get him. So what we would do, we'd actually trim their wings just a little bit, and then they couldn't do that. No matter how hard they tried to fly out of that coop, they'd hit that cage and fall right back. They didn't know that, but we were actually doing it for their protection. Because that's why the fence is there. And so those feathers, if you grab a chicken and you go to pull his feathers out, you can easily just grab it and just pull. Them feathers would just come right out. And I can remember many times that we would kill that chicken and we'd put him in hot water and we'd pull those feathers out and pluck a chicken. How many of us have ever plucked a chicken? Okay, we got some country folks in here. And it stinks. When I think about it, I remember that nasty smell of wet, hot feathers. But that's the way it was, is we would, these chickens, they have loose feathers. And because they have loose feathers, they can't fly very high. You know, Brother Brenham talked about that. He said it was like a loose lifestyle. He said, you know, have a little bit of loose this and a little bit of loose that. He said, and that's why with an eagle, he can't have those loose feathers. Because he's got to have feathers and they're real tight. Because I've never tried this, Brother Brenham said it. You could take an eagle and try to pull his feathers out. You'd have to have a pair of pliers if you try to pull them out. And they were so strong, those feathers, it's almost impossible to get them out. And God likens us to eagles, is that right?
Right.
And you know, thinking about a mother eagle is she'll always take that nest, and she'll put it up high up on top of a rock. And the reason it does that is to keep it from the snakes, to keep it from the coyotes, all these different things. And that little eaglet can sit inside there, and he has got an easy life. And that thing can lay there, and he's got that precious fur that he can lay on top of that, and he can literally lay there from Sunday to Sunday, don't flap his wings, don't do anything, and a meal is freely given to him every Sunday. He can lay there, and he says, it's coming Sunday morning, it's time for my lunch for the week. And he can lay there and open his mouth, and my big mama eagle will come on top of that nest, flap her wonderful wings. And at first, that little eagle lays there and he says, I'm just going to lay here and get my free meal. I'm not going to fight during the week for my meal. I'm just going to wait in this comfy nest. Life is good. Lay his little wings across the nest, the fur. Oh my, he's living a good life. Praise God. And then every once in a while, he'll feel really, really ambitious and say, throw the wing up and say, praise the Lord. Put that wing back down on the nest. Life is good. It's good to be a Christian. Praise God. But we're talking about positioning the called. That little eaglet can lay there and be comfy, but after a little while, mama knows it's time for some positioning, young man. And your position is not living in my basement with your grandchildren. Your positioning is when you grow up, you get married, you move out. Is that right? You're going to come to maturity. Did you hear what I said?
Praise the Lord.
He says, you're not going to sit in this nest. You're going to grow up.
There's a positioning because I know what's inside you. And all of a sudden, that wonderful feeling that they had, here comes Mama laying on the nest, here comes my free meal. But this time she comes up and starts flapping those huge angelic wings. And they start knocking the fur out of the desk. And sometimes them little eagles, you'll see little bitty feathers just flying out everywhere. And a lot of times it's during the strong winds is when we find out we got loose feathers. It's when we're under pressure. That's when we know we have loose feathers. It's whenever all the bills are due and it seems like your paycheck is this and your bills are this. That's when the pressure's on. Say amen.
Amen.
It's whenever you've got this much time of the day and you've got all this stuff I've got to get accomplished. Pressure. During all that pressure of Mama flapping those wings, all of a sudden loose feathers start flying. She starts knocking out that fur, and all of a sudden they start getting uncomfortable in that nest. I'm telling you something. God's not going to let us get comfortable in our nest. God's called us to a positioning to where we got to get out of this nest and start doing what we're called to do, which is fly. Amen? But good. Brother Brown said, you know, it wouldn't do so good for that little eaglet to be able to fly if he couldn't see when he got up there. And God has given us a sight where we can see. I imagine this little eaglet, at one time, they could peek over the nest and use that eagle vision to see way, way, way across the lake and see Mama getting a rabbit. They look way across the lake and see a little deer, but they're still in the nest. And what it is, some evangelist will come by and preach some sermon, and we can peek over the nest and say, oh, wow, I see something way out there. And then you go right back to sitting in the nest, being comfortable again. Is that right?
Yeah.
You go to a Louisiana camp. Praise God. You look over and you can see way out there, see what's going on. Praise God, this is awesome. Then all of a sudden you find yourself sunk right back in the same old nest again and getting comfortable. God has not called us to be comfortable sitting in that nest. We are called to soar up there. Amen?
Right.
And that mama eagle will pick that little eagle up and say, and then thinks you don't have to tell that eagle how to do it. She don't have to pull out some kind of handbook and say, all right, eagles, this is what you're going to do. When Mama puts her arm out, you get on this feather, Timmy over here, Johnny over here. No, they don't have to do that. You ever seen a calf? When you put a newborn calf with its mom, you put it right down there, that thing will go straight to get the milk just as straight as you've ever seen. Why? God put a natural thing inside him to know what to do. And when that eaglet is with Mama and she takes him up to the heavens, that eaglet's got something on the inside of them that says, this is what I'm called to. This is where I'm called to, this message, this the soaring this message. I'm not going to wait till Sunday morning to get my meal. I want a daily meal myself. Myself, I'm going to soar in the heavens. Myself, I'm going to soar because that's where I have been positioned. You say amen for yourself? We're not. What are you talking about, Brother Daniel? We can't wait until Sunday morning just to get our meal. If I was to go all day long without eating until Sunday, I'd be the puniest, weakest. I couldn't get up and do the hours I need to work. I've got to eat. I'm telling you something. Spiritually, friends, we need to eat. We need to eat spiritual meat. Because that mama, when she comes, she don't bring a milk bottle. She gives them meat. And I'll tell you what, this is what the Lord spoke to me last Sunday. A lot of times I wish I could give what I can see, because I feel like I have such a small amount of time to say what I want to say. The Lord told me this is to slow down and let them eat the meat. Because a lot of times I have a tendency, because I see really fast, I talk really fast. And so I can see things really, really quick on how to do something or doing a project. I can say it really, really fast, and people think, well, he don't know what he's talking about. And kind of find out, they'll do exactly what I just said and do it like this. All the difference is I've seen it faster than they did. Not because I'm a smart person. That's just the way God built me. And the Lord showed me that the same way is a lot of times in preaching, a lot of times I get too carried, caught up, and too excited because I see it all and don't realize people aren't seeing the same thing I'm seeing. So, man, I'm trying to slow down and allow you to see. A lot of times we think about it, we rush, 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 and going, and we miss what God wants to do in a service.
Amen.
You know, I'm telling you what, the same God that I've seen people leave with cancers healed is here this morning. The same God where I prayed for a woman that had a stroke and couldn't even talk. The same God. A woman that pulled up, could not even say a single word because she had had the stroke. The same God that was with me that morning and prayed for that woman, and the woman was instantaneously healed and able to speak with her mouth. The same God's here this morning. And I want to see the same results as that God.
Amen.
I want to see God be able to do these things, because, you know, I could preach you a really pretty sermon and make it look really pretty. I'm a car salesman. Believe me, I can paint a pretty picture. I can make that Dodge Durango look absolutely gorgeous. That don't mean nothing. I want you to get what you have need of this morning. I want you to be able to gain what you have need of. And sometimes you may hate me for a little while, but after a while you'll find out I didn't do it on purpose, and you'll find out it helped you.
Amen.
Sometimes, you know, it's hard with a small church. The person will think, well, he's preaching on me. He knows. I have no idea. I just preach what God put on my heart.
Right.
Brother Brown said, maybe there's a loose prayer life, a loose temper, a little talk about this, a little bit of talking about your brother. Those are loose feathers. And that eagle will never be able to fly to its heights as long as it's got those loose feathers. But a lot of times you don't have loose, you don't even know you have a loose feather until you're under turmoil. An eagle is destined for the sky, and its mother will build its on its nest, because that's where an eagle was called to. Remember, we're talking about the positioning of the call. I'm talking a little bit about Samson. Brother Graham talked about why the church has failed. And I'm asking, has the church failed? The bride hasn't.
Right.
But the church has failed miserably.
Right.
Samson kept telling himself, I'm going to go over there one more time. One more time, I'm going to go over there. I'm going to go see Delilah. One more time. And you know, without a doubt, Samson knew what he was doing was wrong. And I'm telling you what, it's the way it is with the believer. When you're doing something you shouldn't do, you know it's wrong. God will deal with your heart. Without a doubt, God dealt with Samson's heart. You can take that off if you want to now. God will take that off of, put that burden on Samson's heart, saying, you better stay away from those things. You better stay away from those worldly friends. You better stay away from them, Samson. Samson knew what he was doing was wrong. God will deal with your heart. God will speak to your heart. God will convict your heart. You need to stay away from those things. You better stay away from that. Why? Because Samson had a strength, but it all come from that covenant with his hair. And mind you, this covenant that happened was not something Samson chose. God chose Samson for that. God chose him and says, you're going to have this strength, but it's going to come by this hair. Now, I can imagine Samson, he knew about this hair. He knew that. I can imagine Samson. He'd defeat the Philistines. He'd pull out his brush from his back pocket, comb that hair. Oh, he'd use the best shampoo, the best conditioner. He'd walk by and that wind would blow and you'd see that hair just... Oh, Samson. Because that was his covenant. He respected that covenant. Because he knew, at one time he respected it, because he knew, this is my strength. And I believe that Samson, Brother Brown said he was a little bitty sissy boy or something to that effect. Little bitty guy. Imagine this guy, defeat everybody and brush that hair. Because that was his strength. And little by little, that little Delilah would put a little bit of influence on him. A little bit of influence on her. Just a little bit. Come on, Samson, tell me what your strength is. Oh, it's strings. Put strings around me and you'll bind me. The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. He broke him like thread. Later on, he'll walk the straight and narrow again for a little while. The preacher get on him. He start walking right. And next thing you know, he knows he's doing wrong. And he'll go out there and start doing the things they know they shouldn't do. That's where the church has failed. He'll start doing the things he shouldn't do. And all of a sudden, that influence starts coming again. That worldly Hollywood influence. Tell you something that grieves my heart. And God help me be a better father about it. I hate it when I see kids can tell you everything about basketball players, baseball players. Tell me about the message.
Yeah.
Tell me about the gospel. Brother Brenham said that people can tell you about Daniel Boone or Davy Crockett and all this thing, but tell me who Jesus Christ is.
Right.
I'm telling you what, help me be a better father. Help us be better mothers. That we can show, help us not let that influence come over us. Because I'm telling you what, name me one time Stephen Curry's ever come and brought bread on your table.
Right.
Name me one time LeBron James has ever come and said, here, I'm going to buy your school clothes for the year. Name me one time where one of them says, I see you have hurt feet. I'm going to come, I'm going to heal your feet. Not one single time.
Right.
Not only can they can't do it, but they wouldn't do it even if they could. That influence of worldly influence will bring, try to bring Hollywood right into the church. And that spirit of Hollywood is a feeling where you always have to be entertained. We always have to try to look glamorous. We always have to look pretty. I always have to be this. I always have to be that. Let's just serve the Lord. Let's just be humble. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to say sometimes you may hate me at the moment. I promise you. If you'll just check me with this.
Yes.
Anytime I ever preach to you, check me with this. You ever say me wrong? You're responsible from pulling me to the side. Say, Brother Daniel, what about it? Amen.
Amen.
His strength comes from his covenant with his hair. And at one time, I believe that he did reverence that hair. But after a little while, he started to give in and give in and give in to that worldly influence. Listen to me, friends. You need to be careful who you hang around. You're spending a lot of time with worldly friends, you'll start acting like them.
Right.
And next thing you know, you'll start smelling like them. Because there's a difference between us and them. You say, Brother Daniel, what's the difference? We have a message. They don't know what's better because we are held accountable. Listen to me now, young people. We are coming to an age of accountability. To where you can't say, I'm going to depend on mom and daddy. There's going to come a day when you'll stand before God by yourself.
Right.
And there won't be no excuse. You'll stand right there because the word's been preached to you. It's been given to you. And you're going to say, I wish my daddy could stay. Daddy can't be there at that time. Tell you something, if there was a predator trying to come towards one of my children, it would not be good for them.
That's right.
But I'm telling you what, something like that, that's called the judgment of God that'll take place where people, because they rebelled against the message. Listen to me, the only difference between the wise and foolish virgin, they lived right in the message churches, they heard the message, they heard all these things. The difference is they neglected to get the oil. They neglected. What's that mean, neglected? It means they knew they should do it. They knew they should get the oil. They knew they had these loose feathers. They knew they had these things, and they neglected. They kept putting it off.
Amen.
I'll do it next service. I'll wait till next camp. I'll pray tomorrow. I know God's dealing with my heart to pray right now, but I'll wait. I'm telling you what, when God lays it on your heart to pray, remember Brother Bram said, anytime you feel like you come to the altar, right then, and give your heart to the Lord. And you don't have to come to an actual altar here. You can do it right at your seat. But Samson kept telling himself, I will go as other times before. I'll do that one more time. And one time was the last time. One time he crossed that barrier, the last time. I know I shouldn't do this. I'm going to do it. And he was bound. But it did not happen overnight. One temptation at a time. One temptation at a time. I'm going to tell you something. I had to work the rodeo this week. First night, we went one night with the family. And if it wasn't so bad, we come late. We just went in, we watched the rodeo, and we left. And I had to go back and work Thursday and Friday night because, you know, we sponsored the rodeo. Breed and Dodge does. It grieves my heart to see the families that come inside there. Girls with their shorts so high, clothes way down, and you see mama right with them. She's dressed just like them. And see husband right there with them, looking at him. And he's so proud. Everyone's looking at my daughter. Oh, I don't understand it.
Right,
it's sinful. Something on the inside of me just says it ain't right. You know, Jesus said, if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery already.
Right.
And I believe a woman, just like the prophet said, a woman puts herself out like that, she's just as guilty. She may be ever so holy with her husband that she would never do those things, with sleep with another man or something like that. But I'm telling you what, when she dresses and acts that certain way, she's just as guilty on every single one of them. And listen to me, brothers. You could be just as guilty. When you try to wear them tight shirts, try to show those muscles, I know what it's like to be young. I know what it's like to feel that testosterone coming through. I know what it's like, but I'm telling you something. You better watch that. Because I'm telling you what, you put yourself out there, my goodness, I wish I could say it was. I remember when I gave my heart to the Lord, I was seeking God. He sung that song, When We All Get to Heaven. I was on my knees prior to my baccalaureate for my my graduation. And remember, I was seeking on my knees, and I was saying, God, give me a godly wife that will not just be a wife, but be a mother to my children. I said, God, I want that. And my teacher would pull me aside, Daniel, I could get you with this girl. And she goes to this church there in Fort Smith, Poto. I said, you need to go with this girl, with this girl. I said, no. I said, the next girl I date will be the girl I marry. And they said, you're crazy. You're young. You're crazy for doing that. I said, next girl I date will be the girl I marry. Because I'm in a covenant with my Lord. I'm not going to go around and start dating around with all these girls. Because I'll tell you what, you need to look to what end. You're going to start seeing and talking to this girl? To what end? Is she going to be a mother for you? Is she going to be a wife for you? Is he going to be a husband for you? Is he going to be a provider for you? To what end? And remember, I would seek God. I said, God, I'm not going to go around dating around. I'm going to wait until you can speak to me through this word. And this is me talking to my Lord. I said, and I had my Bible sitting on the couch. I was kneeling. I said, God, in the same way you spoke to me and showed me who I was in this Bible, I want you to show me who my wife is. God, I ask you to speak to me. In weeks I had sought God, and the Lord led me to go that route. And we went to that bachelorette, and I had talked to my wife just recently before that, and we were just friends. And she just started going to church. And I was knocking on doors, getting people to come to Bible study, looking for a bride for the Lord. I found a bride for myself, didn't realize it. And I remember we were singing when we all get to heaven, and I remember I felt like I could just jump and shout. Because I was like that little eagle inside the nest. It was padded and everything. I was rejoicing. And everything stopped and everything slowed down. Everything blurred out. And my wife was sitting on the left side on the back. And just as clear as I'm talking to you right now, the Lord said, that is your wife. And I knew I was going to marry her one day. You listen to me. You wait until God gives you the right one. Don't you go around meddling around with that stuff.
That's right.
God will give you the right one. And when he gives you the right one, she'll be a mother for your children. He'll be a good husband. And I'm telling you something. You ever get a boy that tries to get you to hold your hand or give you a little sugar on the cheek whenever your dad's not looking? That is right there is a distinct character of a boy you need to get away from. Because he's trying to get you to defile your headship with her husband. Because your headship right now is the way it's going to be then. If he won't respect that headship, he won't respect the Lord either. And I'm telling you what, a girl that would do the same thing, she'll try to show herself and flaunt herself in front of you in that way, she's not fit at that time, I'll tell you right now, to be a wife. She's not fit, stay away from her. Because I'm telling you what, in the same way that Samson got bound, that's exactly how he's bound so many people in the message right now, because they're flirting around with people out in the world whenever they need to just keep their eyes on the Word and let God provide them a good husband. Let God provide them a good wife. And he may be all the way from Texas. But I'm telling you what, God will bring him in. That's a perfect testimony right there. Wait on the Lord, and the Lord will bring that right one. I'm telling you what, because if it's a godly husband, a godly boy that's walking the right way, he's looking for characteristics of a girl that will walk the straight and narrow and be a genuine Christian. And it's vice versa. I know what it's like to feel that testosterone feeling it. You walk through and you see the mirror and you say, boy, look at that guy. Come on, brothers, you know what I'm talking about. Some of it's been a long time. I was thinking about Brother Tim this morning. I was talking about how Samson used to, but that's a good thing we're not depending on that. My Brother Tim would be like, I've been enough friends with Brother Tim. He knows I've never heard of you, but I thought that was pretty funny. Amen. That's where the church has failed. They've let the world in, and they've let Hollywood in. The protection for the church is the Word, the undefiled Word, the untainted Word. And the church today has built up cisterns. And they built their self-denominational spirit that said, this is it, this is what we believe. And a cistern, as we know, it attracts all kinds of stuff. You take a cistern, Brother Branham talked about it, several times. Many of you know what I'm talking about. There's wiggletails flying through it. There's frogs in it. There's snakes in it. And the reason those things are there is because it is a habitation that they are comfortable in. And the church has got it to a place where, in the church world, has got it to a place where it's such a cistern. That's where me and my brothers, the trustees, were talking the other day about different things and about how you have to protect yourself about sexual predators and things like that in the church. And my mind went to that thinking, my goodness, how terrible that is. How that the place where people come to get help, the place where people come to get fed, you have to worry about in the worldly churches of some guy with a perverted spirit coming inside there and defiling the body. It makes me sick at my stomach. There was a time when the word divorce wasn't even spoken. It was like saying a cuss word. And today, most churches, there's over 50% of the congregation has been married and divorced at least once after they went to the church. Not before, after. That means they were going to church. And before, they didn't know better. God forgive them. God help them. Help them walk in the path. I'm telling you something. When you walk in this truth, there's no excuse for it. It's where the church has failed. Cisterns. And you can always tell if it's a cistern because you'll see the habitation things around. I'm telling you what, people's lives, you can tell if they're living in a cistern or if they're living under the living water. You say, Brother Daniel, how can I know if I'm living in a cistern? When you're struggling with certain things that keeps coming back, keeps coming back, keeps coming back in your home, you need to check your plumb line and find out why is this thing keep happening? Why do I keep struggling in this area? A lot of times you'll find out you've got a stopped up place there in your home where that thing's welcome. Why do these friends keep coming by to my house? They keep trying to lead me away. You know the quickest way to get someone to leave the house whenever it's ungodly fellowship? I'll tell you the quickest way. You know how to see if cockroaches are in the room? Turn the light on. I'm telling you what, when you start talking about this, people will start yawning. They'll start doing all kinds of things. Just perfect timing, brother. Actually, brother Matt, right when I said that, Brother Matthew, you start talking about the Lord, they'll start doing their false yawns. They'll say, well, it's time to go. I'm telling you what, if they can't be around this, you don't want around them. I mean, you can be a witness to them. You be nice to them. I'm telling you what, this right here, friends, how could you walk together except that group? If Samson would have kept this thing on when he went to Delilah, she would have run the other way. That's right. Because they can't stand being around this. And I remember one time I was working at Planner's Peanut, for a night shift. And I remember at that time I was 20 years old, 21 years old, something like that. And I really wanted it. I really desired fellowship. I mean, really strong. Really, 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 really desired fellowship. All I did was work and did the church and back to work. And that was it. And I remember I was real late. And I was thinking, Lord, and I'll fellowship with the Lord all the time. I mean, just amazing how the Lord would speak to me during that stage of my life in particular. Just really awesome. I remember I was walking down the hallway and I was thinking to myself, Lord, I wish, because when I go to a break room, I'm start talking about the Lord because I can't help it. I'll start talking about it, everyone leaves. You start going somewhere else, you're sitting around somebody, and you're going to start talking about the things that a man will speak from the abundance of his heart. And I start talking about these things, and people are ready to leave. And I remember I was walking away, and I was thinking, Lord, why is it that nobody wants to talk with me? No one wants to be with me in these things. Lord, I desire that. And the Lord told me, He said, if they would want to be around you, they'd want to be around me. Honey, well, that's the way it is with the bride today. Sometimes it feels lonely. Sometimes, you know, you say, God, I wish I could. I want friends. I want these things. I understand. I have been there. I remember being 20 years old where you want to go out and have friends and do things. I didn't want to do anything ungodly. I just wanted someone I could talk with. Somebody I could go fishing with. I remember those times, the Lord told me if they would want to hang around you, they'd want to hang around me. And I know what you're going through. Sometimes it may feel like you're going through a lonely time, but I'm telling you, if you'll wait on the Lord, I'm telling you what, He'll bring it to you. I did not plan any of that about the young believers. I'm telling you, if you'll listen to me, I promise you, it'll help you.
Talking about the worldly church, over 50% of the churches are divorced after they go to church. Sexual sins is irregular in churches. Premarital sex is a regular thing. In councils, a lot of times they'll tell you you should live with one another for a little while just to see if it works out. Because that way, if you don't, then you're not divorced. Perverted. A woman is given a sacred vow to keep herself reverence for her husband. And a son of God has got about a 1 in a million chance to find a wife that hasn't given herself away yet. About a 1 in a million chance nowadays. A woman would depend on herself being pure at one time. Because she knows if she wasn't staying pure, she wasn't going to get married. If she wasn't going to get married, she wouldn't have someone to provide for her. And at one time, it was way more of a serious thing than it is today, because now women's rights are, a lot of jobs are taken because of women today. I understand there are situations where a woman has to work, but I'll tell you what, it's not the way God planned it. Women won't respect their headship anymore. You talk to a woman today about respecting her husband, she will let you know real quick where she stands. And you know, the thing about it is, someone claims they have the Holy Ghost, but every time you show them about the Word, they get offended. I'm telling you something. This, if you get the Holy Ghost, it will not offend you. It may sting, and it will sometimes, but you'll see that's right. You know, I can look back and see the spankings that I give my children over the years. It's been a long time. But I'm telling you what, when I did, they knew they did wrong. They knew what they did was right. And I'm telling you what, that's the way it is with the children of God. When God will correct you, you know what you did wrong. It may hurt at the moment, but you know what? Every time, my children always come right back to me and they love me, and I have a great relationship with my children. And the world will tell you that's just the opposite. They say that's why the world is the way it is, because they got spanked when they were a child. My goodness. I'm almost finished. I got just a little bit left. You just keep pulling with me. If a woman had committed a sinful act in the Old Testament, she'd be stoned. And a righteous man would apply the blood to the home if she got him as a husband. And he would set his home in order that was pleasing to the Lord. Because God cannot bless sin. How many wants to be blessed in your life? If you're in school, you want God to bless your school. You want God to bless your church. God can bless these things. Of course we do. All of us can raise our hands. Remember something, God can't bless sin. God cannot bless us when we're going and doing those things. And where God is, there's life. And there's safety and there's refuge. Remember, Mary was with child before she married Joseph. And Joseph was going to put her away privately unless the angel told him not to. Because you think about it, that's how serious of a deal it was. Mary was with child before they got married, and Joseph was going to put her away. And rightly knew so. Until the angel said, don't do that, because this is from the Lord. The Lord has done this. And so he kept him. And I want to hit this. Now pay attention. The Holy Ghost provided the sperm and the egg. Right. Though some people have been doing that wrong. They say it's God provided the sperm. God did both. Is that right, Brother Tony?
That's right.
God provided every bit of it. And I'm telling you what, that's the same way it is with us. When God deals with your heart, God provides both for you. God put the seed beside you, not yourself. I didn't one day say, I'll be a Christian. I've always was a son of God. It was the Holy Ghost that provided it. There was no sexual desire for Mary. There was no sex act with her and the angel. It was God Himself, the Holy Spirit, overshadowed Mary. And the word was spoken to Mary, and she said, be it unto me. And the church is teaching today, listen to this now, the church is teaching seek for sensations, seek for tongues, seek for feelings, but Mary seek to keep herself pure. That's what we need to do today. Don't seek for gifts, don't seek for these things. You seek to keep your heart pure before God and see if God don't bring a harvest into your life. That's what the church needs today, is to keep herself pure. That nasty cistern, it attracts the filth of the world. But Mary lived in a cistern around her. Now think about this, where Mary lived at. Mary lived in the most filthy city in the world. And you think God would choose a habitation for him to bring Jesus Christ on earth? He would go to a decent city anyhow, where find a decent girl. But he went to the filthiest, vilest city on earth, which was Nazareth, and got married. Is that right? She lived in the filthiest city in the world at that time. Does that sound familiar to you? In all the world, Nazareth was the filthiest. Even the Pharisees said, can anything come good from Nazareth? Mary lived in the city of Nazareth, but the difference was Nazareth was inside Mary. And I'm telling you something, that's the same way as that. We live in Laodicea. We live in the filthiest, laziest day today in the world. Laodicea is all around us, but it's not inside me. You say amen? Laodicea is a spirit of an age to make you relax. Calm down. Chill. It's okay. Laodicea is an age where it makes people blind, naked, wretched, and don't even know it. You imagine a man thinking he's rich? He's rich. Oh my goodness, I'm a rich man. I'm a rich man. And he goes up to the store, and his wallet looks like mine. Thinks he's rich. He's poor. Man walking down the street thinks he's clothed. He's walking around. I'm clothed. There's nothing wrong. And he's naked. He ain't got a stitch of clothes on. And then you try to tell that man that's rich, that's poor, try telling him that, man, you're poor. You ain't rich. He'll tell you real quick, man, I still got checks. I still got money. Take a man that thinks he's clothed and try to put clothes on him. Come here. I'm going to put a shirt on him. You let me put a shirt on you? Why not? Huh? You need a shirt on. Huh? You need a shirt on. You put a pair of pants on? I've got a pair of pants in the truck. Why not? Huh? I can't hear you. You're both. So you don't want a shirt? Huh? You don't talk very much, does it? I could try to tell that boy over and over and over, you ain't got no shirt on. You do not have a shirt on. If he believed me, he'd go, what? He's got a shirt on. And I could try to help him. I said, put his shirt on. You ain't got no shirt on. And see what he's looking at me? That's exactly the way the church looks at you whenever you bring the word to him. And you say, look, the word of God says this ain't right. You can't dress that way. Women shouldn't be bobbing their hair off. It ain't right. They look at you and say, I'm clothed. What are you talking about? They're blind, naked, and wretched, and don't even know. But listen, it's not just out there. He's trying to get inside the church. He's trying so hard to get right inside of the bride. Trying so hard to get the message. But thank God we can't be deceived. Is that right? I love that. I love that as a Christian. Let's go ahead and stand. I'm going to keep going if I don't. I love this wonderful feeling. You can have an evangelist or somebody come by, or someone be preaching something to you, and you're like, hey, man, and all of a sudden, it's like putting a piece of coal in your mouth. Now, I've done that before, and it don't taste good. Charcoal. It'll make you want to spit it out. And that's the way it is. Thank God. He's put something on the inside of us, and someone could be speaking something to you, and all of a sudden, it's a false doctrine. It's like putting that coal in your mouth. No. That ain't right. That ain't right. Is that the truth? I love that, how a shepherd can take that. I'm going to show you. I'm going to walk with my brother Tim. He's going to follow my word. I'm going forth. And I want all of you to reach your hand out here. And I want you to hand up. I want you to hand out $1 million. I want you to hand out whatever you want to hand out. Whatever the track is. I want you to hand out a new guitar. I want you to hand out all these things. I'm telling you something. You notice how he ain't going for any of that stuff. Why? Where's his eyes at? Anywhere I go. Anywhere I go. Go ahead and reach him out.
Put up your stuff. You see where the sheep's going? Because his eyes ain't looking out there. He's watching me because he knows every step that I take, he's going to take that step. And that's token life. God's called us wherever that shepherd goes, the sheep go. Thank you, brother. Wherever that shepherd goes, the sheep go. I'm not going to start looking to the right. I'm not looking at this stuff. I'm not looking over here. I'm not looking over here. I'm looking at my shepherd. And wherever my shepherd leads, because I'm telling you what, one of these days, that precious sheep is going to walk behind that shepherd. And though the temptations keep going, they're showing the stuff, one day he's going to step over and we're going to cross that final line one time. And he's going to take a rest. Do I know how I'm going to have the faith? I don't know exactly, but I know it's going to be there. Now, faith will be there. Do you believe that? I believe we're going in a rapture. I believe that I'm called. And I believe I'm being positionally placed. God has positioned us. He's bringing them at the eagles to maturity where they can soar in the heavens where they're called to. He's calling us to soar higher, guys. Listen to me now. I've said the things this morning. I know it may make you feel a little uncomfortable. I'd never do anything to hurt you. But I know that we got a generation of people this morning. Our young people today, I know it gets hard. I know sometimes you're going through and you want that companionship, you want the friendship. If you'll wait on the Lord, God will give you the right one. I believe with all my heart. Send us up. God sees your hands this morning. Every head bowed. We're going to pray with you this morning that the Lord will lead you, He'll guide you, and He'll give you that hunger for the Word. Because we can't come unless He draws us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, you've seen the precious hands that have come up this morning, Lord. Lord, you know the need behind every hand, Lord. God, we truly want to follow you, Lord. We don't want to turn to the left. We don't want to turn to the right, Lord. Father, we don't want to try to hang out with the wrong people, Lord. Lord, in the same way a nun don't go to a Catholic church to be a bad person, they do to try to do what's right. But Lord, you have got a provided way. Lord, we want to come the provided way this morning. Hands have gone up across the building, Lord. I ask you to touch everyone, Lord. Lord, touch our precious young people, Lord. It's a time, Lord, where, Lord, it's a testing time. Help them, Lord Jesus, to go back to the Word. Lord, help them to stay with the Word and follow the headship, Heavenly Father. God, touch these precious mothers, Lord, the fathers, Lord God. Lord, bless our pastor this morning, Lord Jesus.
help us to follow you, Lord. If you want to help us make a turn, help us be ready to make that turn, Father. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Choices of life, and you, when things come at you that maybe is not right, you know, you just assess those things with the experience that you have of being born of the world, and you'll make decisions that are wrong, and you won't know that it's wrong. You'll accept things in your life and think it's just fine. It's natural in your natural birth. As a fallen person, it was natural for you to start patting your foot when you hear a rock and roll song. It's natural. So Brother Daniel's shaking his head. He knows this is true. You don't have what it takes to fight off the enemy.
That's right.
So without the Spirit of God, then you might wind up anywhere. See, if you don't have an anchor, you're going to drift. Because, you know, people's is waters. And we're in a sea of humanity, floating, trying to find our way to safety. And without something to anchor us, we're going to be drifting, and you don't know where you'll wind up. You might wind up somewhere that you think you never would go there, because you got to have an anchor. And so that's why it's so important that you have a new birth, that you have Christ, because without His Spirit in you, there's no telling where you go. But with His Spirit, with an experience in God, that becomes your anchor. And then by that experience, you make life's decisions. And by that experience, when things come your way, now you've got something in you that knows how to discern good and evil. Something, because without it, you just, you might look at something and say, that's just fine. It's okay to like rock and roll music. It's okay to have a drug addiction or whatever it might be. It happens all the time. I know what I'm talking about. Look at the world. Why? How come they're like that? Because they're without Christ. Because with Him, you're not going to go those routes. He's going to pull you from that stuff. So when you have that experience in you, now that's what will keep you. Now you've got something that can guide you, direct you, tell you what to do, what not to do, and what to accept, what not to accept. And as Brother Daniel said, it'll lead you and guide you. Scripture said so, into all truth, and show you who your mate is, and show you what to do, and what job to take, and what job not to take. He'll show you all those things, but you got to have that anchor. We have to have something that we stand for. Because this world is drifting. You know, if I said, well, you know, you got to stay inside Crawford County. Don't go off into Sebastian County. I'll just use that as an example. And you've got a pull naturally in yourself as a fallen person. You got a pull that says there's nothing wrong with going to Sebastian County. I want to go there. And Satan is drawing you, and you don't understand why it's not, that there's a problem with going there. And so eventually, even though your parents or your preacher or whoever is telling you don't go there, because you don't have something inside that knows better, you'll eventually, Satan will talk you into, and eventually you'll start going over, crossing the border into that other county.
That's right.
And, you know, you might, well, I just a little bit. But after a while, you'll walk freely and forth into that other county. And what will happen is you'll still know you shouldn't be there. But you'll walk over there and you'll develop your own comfort zone that allows you to go over, and you'll go just however far your own comfort zone is, and somehow in your mind you'll establish that it's okay, that everything's fine, because I'm really not going way off downtown.
Come on.
And over there. I'm just over here a little bit. So see, you establish your own. You know, and the scripture said there's a way that seemeth right. Listen, there's a way that seemeth right to man. And you know what it leads to? Death.
That's right.
See? But once you get something inside you that knows why you shouldn't go across into that county, you won't cross into it at all. Even you might have a flesh that would want to, you've got something inside that tells you and you know better. So you don't do those things. We have to have that experience in our life. And I'm saying this, I said all this because our young people was coming to mind when the Lord was giving that to me this morning. I think it went right along with what Brother Daniel was sharing this morning. See, we've got to drive a stake in the ground. And you young people, you've got to make up your mind. What is going to be my anchor? Am I going to rely on myself? Am I going to rely on the friends around me or the society or what the world says? Is that what's going to be my tie post? Or am I going to make a commitment today that the Word of God is going to be my tie post? That I'm going to seek God, I'm going to look to Him to provide these things, so that if He tells me it's wrong to do something, then I won't do it. And look to Him completely for that. So you have to make up your mind and decide what you're going to do. Because we're in an hour where it's very quickly approaching, very quickly approaching. And each one of you, it's like Brother Daniel said, Daddy won't be there that day. And oh, how, if it was in God's economy for me too, I'd want to be there. But I know that I'm not going to be there that day for my children. I'm not going to be there that day for, you know, for you. When you come and answer to the Lord of what you've done in this life with His Word. I'd love to be able to help you at that time. But you know what? That's why I'm here now. To help you in that time.
Amen.
Right now, to tell you the truth, so that when that hour comes, I can stand back and I can say they'll make it just fine because they adhered to the truth that was given to them.
Amen.
But you know what? If you don't do that, and your preachers, your ministers know that you're not, because I can talk to people. I was talking to some people the other day, and they're all people that go to church. And I was talking to them about the Word, and only one person out of that group, they're all listening, but there was only one person that truly was catching it.
Yeah.
And I knew they were catching it. Because you can see it. You can see it in the spirit. You can see. And so your preachers know when you're sitting there yawning spiritually.
Right.
They know it. And so then, hey, your ministers sat back and they toil before God. Lord, how can I say it different? What can I do? How can I lay before you? What can I do to make it stick so yes. they catch it.
Yes.
Because if they catch it, that's all she wrote. Once you get that new birth, where it's absolutely Jesus Christ that's in you and not just some creed of man or some idea, once that happens, you're sealed into the kingdom. Amen. That's what we want for every one of you. See? You know, it sounds a little bit crude, but you know, I can't look at a person, a man, who walks up, I cannot tell you whether he's been circumcised or not. And that's a natural type of circumcision in the heart. You can't look at someone and say, there's a real Christian. See? And we know Brother Bram told us, when you talk to them, you can tell if they are. But you just can't just look at it. You just can't, just because they say, well, I'm a Christian, you can't, that don't work.
Right.
But once you talk to them just for a moment, get them in the presence of that light Brother Daniel was talking about. So begin to talk to them about God. You'll find out real quick
yes.
whether they're a cockroach or not.
Uh-huh.
And so I thank God for discernment.
Amen.
Amen. So I just want to encourage our young people especially, but all of us. If you know that you have a potential of drifting, which we all do, right? You have a potential of drifting. You need to make up your mind today. Am I going to continue to drift and just let life take me wherever it's going to take me? Or am I going to reach down into something that can anchor me, that'll keep me from going wherever, where I can actually have a say in where I wind up? Right? Because if you'll sink your teeth into the Word of God and let that be your anchor, you are controlling what your destiny is. When I say that, I know it sounds kind of a paradoxical, but you're not drifting anymore. Amen? I don't want you drifting. And I don't want to come along and try to preach a sermon to you again, but, you know, when God speaks to us, He wants us to pay attention. Amen? Brother Bram said one time, he said, when God's moving, and he said, respond.
That's right.
Right? You respond to Him. Don't wait. Don't put it off, because you don't know whether you got another chance some other time.
That's right.
Right? You accept Him now. Maybe it's right there in your seat, but just, if you know that you have that potential of drifting, and I'm telling you as a minister of the gospel, you do have that. If you don't have an anchor, you're drifting. Then make up your mind, Lord, today I may not understand it all. I may not only understand a fraction. I may not even understand any of it, but God, I don't want to drift. I don't want to wind up out in the world. I don't want to wind up as a teenage pregnancy or marry and then wind up being divorced because I picked the wrong one. I don't want that, Lord. And I recognize today that I don't have in me the ability to prevent that. So God, I'm asking You, get a hold of my life. And You guide me. And You keep me. And You give me the right one. And You take me down the right roads. If you'll just do that and do that with sincerity in your heart and drive that stake in the ground today, and then when you walk out the doors, you act like you've driven that stake.
Amen.
Think back to that and say, I'm going to do things differently. And anytime Satan comes my way and wants to tell me to do something, I'm going to go back to that and say, I'm trusting God in that stake that I drove in the ground Sunday morning, that You are now going to guide me. And if You take my direction a different direction, then amen, so be it. But I'm trusting God from now on for my future.
Yeah.
Because every one of us need to trust God for our future.
Amen.
For every breath you take, and for every decision you make, you need to trust God. And I believe it. Now, I want to ask, as Brother Daniel said, if anybody here would like to come up for prayer, we certainly want you to do it. Don't pass this by. Because we don't know how much longer it's going to be. Things are moving in this world. And one of these days, this bride's going to leave this place. She might be treated like Cinderella right now with all her evil stepsisters and evil stepmother and all that kind of stuff. But one of these days, the king is going to make his choice known.
Amen.
And everybody's going to have to bow down to that fact that there was a virtuous people who was willing to adhere to Him, Christ the Word, and not move on to something else. So what I just say, that as we just worship for a little bit, come up and pray. Come up and ask Brother Daniel and I. We'll pray for you, lay hands on you. But believe God for His promises is what I'm saying. Some of you probably have perhaps never made a move toward God like that. Maybe you have. and don't pass by what the Lord, I don't premeditate to do this, but don't pass by what the Lord has got here for you today. You have even one inkling in your heart whatsoever to come to God and ask Him to take them. More of your life and dedicate more to it than you do that. Amen. And I believe of myself that to believe the word is sufficient, but sometimes it's okay for someone to lay their hands on you. Sometimes it's okay to put your hands over on something to have faith. Sometimes it's okay to walk up and say, by me walking up here, because Brother Rev said, even when you raise your hand to defy gravity, that's like driving a stake in the ground. When you raise that hand, God sees that.
That's right.
Because an action was done to defy unbelief.
That's right.
And that's what I'm saying. So sometimes it's okay to go for it. And so I tell you what, Brother Brown did say the altar was given to the church in the Methodist age, but I can tell you, he said, may we never take them from our churches.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's good to come up and actually touch the altar.
Yeah.
If you've got faith enough to do it in your own seat, that's fine. But all I'm just saying is whatever it takes, let's get you there where you need to be.
Yeah.
Amen. We'll worship just a little bit now. Give you a chance to think about this with clear, sane decision in the presence of God and His Word. What are you going to do from this day forward? Amen.
But what I need is just more of You. Of things I've had my fill, and yet
Lord, bring a joy and love inside of us for Your word, Jesus. And Lord, though the devil may try to turn to the left, to the right, Lord,
that you
Lord,
to follow you,
Father, wherever you go,
Lord.
Be that Lord, restore the joy of her salvation, Father. Lord, help us hold the token of our hope, Father. Lord, Jesus, set the right examples, Father.
Glory, God, and all the blessings that she needs.
I pray your holy name, Lord Jesus.
We ask you to bless her home in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Lord, help her walk that
we
walk.
You call
her to bring her to perfection, Father.
God, give her strength
Jesus
and help her as she goes through these trials.
Lord, help her
to
draw closer to thee this morning.
God, give her the strength.
Open every door, Father.
God,
everything, Lord. There's anything unlike you, Father.
On a pathway, Lord God, that
you
prepared
right
for her. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
goodness to us this morning. I trust that every heart is clear. Amen. Would you go with the blessing that the Lord has given me today? I wanted to remind everyone that Brother Ben Beard will be with us next week, next Saturday night, next Sunday morning, Saturday night at 6 p.m. and Sunday morning at our normal time of 10:30. And also, I want to remind everyone also that Brother Ben Norrod will be with us. And that's going to be a Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning. Who knows, we might even do something Sunday afternoon. But that will be the last day of June, the 30th, and then July 1st and 2nd. So we're going to just announce that and remind everybody that we've locked those times down. And like I said, I was thinking of Brother Ben Norrod one evening, and the next morning he texted me and said, "Hey, brother, how about some meetings, the 4th of July meetings?" So we certainly will be looking forward to that. Amen. You love the Lord.
Amen.
Well, it's been raining outside, but it's also been raining inside.
Amen.
So we thank the Lord for his blessings. We'll let you be dismissed as we sing this song or whatever Brother Tim has lined up for us. But I just want to say God bless you. We love you. And sit close together. Pray for one another. Yeah. Love one another. Yeah. And when you see the enemy coming in trying to pick his way and pry in something, just push him right out. Amen. We're going to make it. We're going to be over there.
That's right.
We're going to look at one another in the eyes. I'm going to look at you and you're going to look at me. And we're going to have a voice of rejoicing. Looking back, knowing the victories that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us together. I count it the greatest privilege to be able to walk this life with you in this gospel. I believe that. God, the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. I come yesterday morning, I come to the gas station to get some gas and run into a man and woman that I knew when I was this big, who were very influential on my life. And I spoke to him. I thought it was him, and she walked up and I said, "You remember me, you know who I am?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, I want to bless you this day. I want you to know that when I was a child, she used to go to Brother Perryman's church back then. I said, "I want you to know that you made an influence on me. And I'm a gospel minister now." And I said, "So your fruit affecting me is not just one generation, but when I go out and preach the gospel, it's counted back to them too." Amen. So, the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. You go places, you do things, you think it's just you. But God has got you on a mission. And we're going to do what He has called us to do so that we can get over on the other side and we'll look back and we will be thankful that we pushed and pressed as hard as we did under the tutorship of the Holy Spirit. Ask that you would just keep the situation of the church in prayer. The Lord help us get things taken care of. It seems like it's going to just take forever. Maybe several months before we finally get everything, all the legal stuff taken care of. But I can see the Lord moving and working. So we want to thank Him for that. Just ask that you continue to pray. And you know what? We're going to plant potatoes. And if we knew the Lord was coming in the morning, we'd still be planting potatoes tonight. Because you might say, "Well, Brother Tony, it's so close. I mean, it's fixing to happen just any time." I know that. We're going to keep working on this building and working on what God's got for us. We're going to keep pressing on and keep telling people about the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Dismissed.